A Playlist Original.
Hi, you guys. I'm Steven.
I'm Giselle.
And we're the Lover's Passport. And welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered Adventures. And today we have a very special guest. She is actually one of the big reasons that we started doing so well back when we were first starting our sponsor posts and growing our Instagram and social following. So we're really excited to have Danny the Explorer on our podcast today. Welcome, Danny.
That's me. Hi, everyone. I'm Danny.
You guys may have heard us talk about Danny in a few other episodes as well, where we are basically your hype squad.
Yeah, I feel like we plug you quite a bit. We're like, oh yeah, we learned this after we started the course with Danny. Oh yeah, we started doing this after this.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm flattered to know that actually, because I feel like I've been unplugged from the social media world for a while, which is funny because I teach about it, but I try to consume as little content as I can because, I mean, like, you guys probably know this is totally just getting off topic and probably wasn't what you had in mind for an intro, but let's just go with it. So I kind of feel like when you're doing all this content creator stuff, you start to realize that the more time you spend on your phone looking at other things or listening to other things, the less time you're actually spending doing your own stuff. And it's so easy to get caught up, like, looking at trends, looking at what other people are doing. So that's my little soapbox. I'll just stop there.
That's what I'm saying. That's perfect. That's what the podcast is all about. That's perfect.
It's unfiltered, right? You weren't expecting that. Totally unfiltered. But yeah, wow, I'm flattered. And seriously, you guys have done, oh my gosh. So seeing some of the adventures that you guys go on, the brand deals that you guys get, all of your growth and everything, it's amazing. Like, kudos to you. You found the key, you cracked the code, and you're just going for it now. So congrats.
Well, thank you. I clearly remember it was like November of 2020 when we signed up for your course and we had 4,000 followers. That's how long ago that was.
Yeah, it was. I remember back then we had no, I feel like G knew a little bit more about what we were doing, but I had no idea about anything with content creator stuff or how much to charge or licensing, or it just made no sense to me. I was like, Ari, I reposted us. Yes, we've made it.
For free? Yeah, that's where we're like, oh God, okay. But anyways, how has it been like transitioning from like doing creation full time and traveling, and you did van life too, right? And then moving into the coaching space.
Yeah, it's been, I feel like it's a journey that I'm just still getting my feet wet in, because it's actually pretty different. So when I was pursuing all the content creator stuff, I was just traveling, brand deal. And that was a ton of fun. I did some trips with other creators too, which was a great way to meet folks. And the coaching stuff, what I started realizing is what you start to realize, like, how much people don't know about the content creator space and how many, I don't know how to describe this, like, just how many barriers to entry there are for people. Whereas for probably you guys and for me too, I was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to like do my thing and figure it out. But there's a lot of people out there that want to get into the space and they just literally don't know how. And I feel like figuring out how to, okay, like, let's help you get there, because I'm doing some one-on-one coaching now, and just figuring out what's going to stick with people. It's just a lot different working with students who want to learn more about the space than it is working for brands wanting to have you market their products. So it's been a fun journey. I feel like I have learned so much about marketing things, selling things, building a website. Like, you just start to, if you think you know a lot now doing content creator stuff, once you start going into digital products, it's quite amazing how much there is to learn out there about getting people to purchase stuff, or just even what makes a good product. You know what I mean? Because now you have to deal with customers who are actually wanting to consume and learn from you. So yeah, there's like still so much that I don't even know. So maybe in a year from now, if you guys ask me again, I'll have a completely different answer for like, oh yeah, now I'm doing this. But that's how it's been. It's just a giant learning overhaul. I definitely miss doing some traveling stuff, but what I will say is like the last couple trips that I took, it was really nice to just be able to go on them and enjoy them mm-hmm. and not have to actually feel obligated to create around that, because that really wasn't what I was there for. So that's really nice. But yeah,
that seems to be a common thing. Like we kind of went through that when we were growing really, really fast, like right before I quit my job, I think. And then we finally established, like, we'll have a rule of this is going to be a purely content trip, and this is going to be like a go enjoy kind of trip. Cause there's the work-life boundaries. I feel like once you do this full time, it gets so blurry. I feel like we were much better about it when we did have our other jobs, because we'd only have so much time. Yeah. And so like you were literally, you couldn't work 24/7, but anyways, so did you have a PR background before? I don't remember what your job was before you got into content creation, because I feel like most people we talk to that are very successful have all come from marketing, PR, like some sort of background that's given us a leg up pivoting into social. Mm-hmm. And so I don't remember what your job was before this.
I worked as a digital marketing specialist at a marketing agency, and I actually did Google Ads, Facebook Ads, and some SEO for clients.
Okay.
And then I started to do a little bit of social media there. So back in college, I actually got my degree in supply chain management, which is way left field from what I'm doing now. Yeah, I was doing all that. I didn't enjoy those career paths. It was just lots of like, kind of data jobs. I wasn't into it, but I had discovered kind of in college through extracurriculars, some social media stuff. And believe it or not, I was literally anti-social media. Like I hated the concept of Instagram. I didn't have a Facebook. Like you couldn't find me anywhere. I was off the map.
You're like my dad.
Yeah, I was. I guess I was like my dad too. I don't know. There's something about dads, and they're just like, "Oh, these kids on social," and you're like, "Okay, pops, calm down, whatever." Nope. Anyway, so I was totally against social media, and then I got into some like business clubs at my school. They were using social media, and somehow I got on the team. So I started learning a little bit there about like, okay, how do you run like a club's Facebook group, and like, how do you maybe run their public Facebook page to get people to want to join the club? That experience is what actually got me my digital marketing job. And then when I was doing SEO and stuff there, they were kind of starting to get their feet wet with doing more organic social media for clients. And me being the newer hire there, it was like, hey, you're going to learn some social media stuff, right? So that's actually really where I got my start. I was kind of sort of getting into Instagram, but I was really doing a lot of Facebook posting and Facebook management. And I was doing Instagram just like, I guess, for shits and giggles on my own. I didn't really like know what I was posting about. A lot of my posts were actually from when I was in the Disney College program. So there were like pictures of Disney stuff on there, and then occasional hikes. And then slowly it was kind of like, oh, you can make this a thing. And oh, I can post about hiking more. And oh, all right. And that's like really what got me started in this space. So just like a bunch of self-learning, but it didn't have too much to do with what I was doing at work. But I mean, you're right. There's a lot of people that become content creators because they have PR backgrounds and stuff, because it just becomes part of your job. Then you go, oh, I could do this on my own. And then that pretty much starts it.
You're like, oh, these influencers are making quadruple my salary in like a post. You know?
Yeah, that too, right? Because wasn't that what you were doing?
Yeah, I was working with like YouTubers for skincare, and they were making, I mean, they had like 1 to 5 million subscribers on YouTube. Okay. But so like it was well deserved, and their conversion rates are super high for ROI purposes. But like for one like video, if it was a dedicated video, they would charge like 40 to 50 grand. And I was like, that's my salary. Like what the heck? That's crazy. But I mean, and we never did like a full partnership with that. We did more like integrations on YouTube, and we found them pretty profitable. I mean, like most of the times those YouTubers, and I found YouTube was definitely the highest converting platform, which is interesting. But it makes sense with all the links and everything. And like, we would pay an influencer, I think she had like 1 million subscribers on YouTube, and we'd pay her like $7,000 and her ROI would always be like 15, 20 grand of sales. Yeah. So we were like, clearly this is a very important platform to focus on. But that's where my boss and I used to butt heads actually, is because I would be like, these people are valuable. And they were just older and they just didn't really, they're like, these people are getting this for free. Like, what the heck? That's not fair. And so it was very interesting seeing it from the side of like a business owner, because if you're older, I feel like you just don't get it. You need to have that younger person who gets it working for you. And so I was always the youngest person on my team. And that was always a struggle because I was always fighting for that. And then one day I was like, okay, well, you know, if you don't believe me, you want to go see what I'm getting paid from all these brands. But, and then that's what I finally quit. But, you know, it's been a journey.
You know what I just remember too, is actually at the marketing agency, they had these extra desk spaces that they rented out to an influencer agency. And like, I feel like nobody at that digital marketing agency when I was working there was kind of talking to these influencer people. And it was so bizarre what they were doing. Because this was in like, oh my gosh, this must have been 2016,
I think.
So still pretty early. And I remember we had one particular meeting where one of the girls from the influencer agency was talking about the platform, and it was kind of like Aspire IQ where you could log in, you could apply for jobs, and we're just going, whoa, what? And you could look at their followers, and it still just didn't make any sense. And even for me, I was like, ah, this is useless information. And then I ended up doing it for my job. Like, what a joke. And looking back now, I wish I would have maybe like, hey, asked them some questions or something about what they were doing, but oh well, too late now.
That's so yeah,
it's crazy how far it's come and like how fast it's progressed since it, because I feel like you were one of, we always say there's the OGs and then there's like the new COVID creators, because there's like a huge wave of people that all started right during 2020 lockdown, and they were like, this is an opportunity, I'm gonna pivot and go with this. And then there's all like the older creators that have been doing it
since
for
just photos.
Exactly. So it's super interesting to see how it's like changed. Even since we've started, we've seen it change so much.
You know what? It has changed a lot, but I actually find it kind of scary that it's changed so rapidly, because something that I've noticed as a coach that I don't think like your run-of-the-mill content creator would realize is the newer generation of creators coming up, especially if they started on TikTok, they went viral and they've grown exponentially. They're so, from my experience, so disconnected to what is going on with like how much they should be charging, how to even work with brands, whatever, that it kind of, I've noticed that there's so much more information now spreading about how you can like get brands to talk to you or do this. Like I'll go hop onto TikTok sometimes and I'll see this person that has no experience working with brands. Like you could creep, you know how it is, you can scroll through people's profiles and look, they have no experience even like, have you ever picked up a camera or created content or done anything, and they're just like, here's how I made $4,000 being a UGC creator last month. And I'm like this is UGC TikTok, it is impossible that you have ever made a dime from this. Like you are just selling people on this idea, and then they're like, buy my course on how to be a UGC creator. And I'm just like, no, I want to scream from the rooftops, like, no, I know you're spreading lies. Like there's no evidence you ever done anything in this space. And that's not true for everyone, but I've just noticed that like on TikTok in particular, the content that's like, this is how much money I made and you can do it too, and it's so easy to do this, and ditch the 9-to-5, and you know, you can go to freedom and you're in the corporate America circle and you're killing your dreams, like those types of narratives, they tend to get viewed a lot, click through a lot. And I will have TikTok influencers reaching out to me. There was one girl in particular, and she was like, yeah, I have 500,000 followers on TikTok, and like somebody told me I should be charging 40,000 for a TikTok. What? And somebody else told me I should be charging 2,000. And I was like, whoa, no, I don't know where you're getting this information from, but that's so unreasonable. And unless you're getting really good views, you have a track record of like selling products or something, I don't see how a brand is going to pay you $40K for a TikTok if you have no experience doing it.
Like Alex Earl.
TikTok's like the freaking Wild West, though. Feel like we get we'll get a pitch and it'll be from a like super notable brand and they're shooting like the lowest numbers we've seen. We're like, what? And then we'll get another from a brother brand or like a very close brand to the same exact type of people that were reaching out, and they'll be like quadrupling the price. So they're like, oh, actually that pitch is kind of low, we'll double. And we're like, it just makes no sense. There's no like how to. I feel like on Instagram and even YouTube and blogs, like there's a pretty set like standard price that goes around for most people, but I feel like on TikTok it like has no correlation.
But I think too, like what you were saying, a lot of people just don't realize. They just think, oh, I should be paid this much because my followers. I'm like, okay, but the point of you having those followers is to sell them stuff for the brand, whether it's awareness, engagement, conversions, whatever. And if you don't have that mindset, then they're just like, well, I should be getting paid this because I should, you know, instead of what can I offer a brand from my platform? So I think that's the biggest thing is that from what we've seen, because we used to have our Patreon and like we used to look over some of the like people doing audits and whatnot and seeing what everyone's pain points are and stuff. And I just don't think people realize like you have to be able to offer something that's, it's not just purely followers based. It's not just vanity metrics.
No, you're right. I mean, coming from a marketing agency where my job was literally, I'm running your ads so that you could get leads, so that you could sell. And then I know that you could relate to this too, Giselle. Hey, you know, I'm selling these products. I'm hiring you as an influencer so you can help me sell this product. Like when you become an influencer and you want to get paid by brands, you're basically opting in to be a salesperson. And if that sounds icky to you, you don't like it, and you just want people to pay you for looking pretty on camera, you're in the wrong space. Like go into modeling or some, or acting or something else. You know what I mean? Like you are using your platform to sell, and it's not all bad. There's so many brands nowadays willing to pay influencers, and I'm sure a lot of us know and love their products. Like, I don't see an issue with this, but a lot of people, just like you said, they're like, oh my God, I just have this many followers, so I should get paid this much. And a lot of the times too, they don't even have like an actual kind of relationship with their followers. So then when they do a sponsored post, maybe it tanks super hard because they're just like, eh, whatever, I watch you because I guess you're funny sometimes or something like that. Yeah, it's been really interesting navigating that from a coaching perspective, because that's something I've never dealt with before, because I was always just minding my own business, like doing the brand deals and the traveling and the stuff. But now seeing how much people don't know and where that disconnect is, and like these cash grabby content pieces that I feel like I'm competing with a lot of the times, because it's kind of like, okay, well, these videos get so many views and so many eyeballs and whatever. How do I like spread,
stitch them all.
Do you know what I mean? How do I kind of like get information out there that's not spammy and stuff, because it also doesn't get as many clicks. It's just such an interesting space to be in.
I feel like a lot of people are trying to like become content coaches these days too, like that. A lot of the times when I'm scrolling on Instagram, that's like all I see is all these people saying, these are trending audios, this is what you know you're worth, like, XYZ.
What you built your audience on. So it was fascinating watching you pivot, because you did it so well and so naturally, whereas like some people are just like out of the blue like trying to do it, but it's not their main content focus at all, or like they're not like fully committing to the switch, you know. It was really cool seeing you be able to totally rebrand yourself into a creator coach in a way that wasn't spammy. Like I feel like there's this big, not disconnect, but kind of like stigma on courses and content creator coaches in particular, because a lot of them are spammy and misinformed, and a lot of them are like, you know, like what you're saying. You know, they just throw out these big numbers and they're like, I will teach you my ways, and they're not substantiated. But yeah, so how was that, like fully changing your content all at once? Were you totally scared to do it? Because I feel like even for us, just branching out from like outdoor to travel internationally, I was like, oh, are they going to respond to it? You know, I feel like you kind of went from outdoor to your like creative portraits and then to coach. So how was that for you?
It's still scary to this day, but when in the beginning, when I had said I tried to consume as little content, that's actually kind of what started that, because I started being like, oh no, maybe I should go back to posting what I was posting. Even just like looking at other travel creators who I admire and be like, oh no, I could be in that place taking photos too. And it just, all those things just weren't serving me.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's literally not me anymore. And trying to continuously shove myself back into this, nope, here you go, you're a travel blogger, stay in there, don't you move. Like, it wasn't doing me any favors. And I was getting much more fulfillment and enjoyment from helping people. And it's scary because it, in this particular space, I don't want to be that associated with that spammy person, right, whatever. Like, I feel like I have experience and some credibility behind what, you I'm, do what indeed. I'm sharing. Thank
She's
you.
She's legit, people. She's legit.
I'm legit. I passed the test. You know, they're going to give me my blue check mark. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. but it is what it is, I guess. I mean, it's like the same thing for any, I have some other clients and just other creators that I've talked to too, and they're kind of in a similar boat to what you're talking about with, hey, I'm posting in this one particular niche and I want to start branching out. And I think at some point you just have to decide that that's what you're going to do, and you just do it. And at least for me, what really helps is looking at my phone less and less, because then I'm just getting to the habit of, this is me now, this is me now, and not so much paying attention to what other people are doing. Cause I feel like a lot of the times that's what ends up drawing us back into our old ways, is you start to see what other creators in your niche are doing. You start to see the opportunities maybe that they're getting that you missed out on. And you start wondering, oh, if I would have just stuck to this, would this have happened for me? But the reality is at some point you're going to be different, and you're going to have completely different opportunities, things, paths, failures, and other people. And if you continuously try to just retract the decisions that you're wanting to make, you're really not going to get anywhere. So at least that's kind of like the mental walkthrough that I'm trying to do right now, because it's not easy. It's like, I don't know, sometimes I cringe a little bit when I maybe post a reel and I'm like, how I gained 100K followers, because I know how it can come off, but there's nothing I can do about it. If it helps somebody, it helps somebody. If it annoys somebody, it annoys them. They can unfollow and that's it. I'm not for them anymore. They're not for me, and vice versa.
That's
so
a healthy mindset. I feel like that, I mean, you just can't please anyone or everyone. And
yeah,
once you realize that, and once you realize like it's not about the numbers, it's about like the, you know, quality over quantity, I feel like that as a creator definitely helps. Cause I know I wasn't necessarily obsessed with the numbers. This one over here though.
I feel numbers, I definitely guy. Spend a lot more time looking at everything and tracking everything and
he's
making
like, oh,
sure we're
sucking today. I'm like, don't look at it. Just wait overnight. It's just gonna grow overnight. Just wait. Like literally 2 days ago. He's like, I thought this one would do so well. I'm like, you know better than anyone, it takes like 2 weeks for a reel to go viral. But just like, wait, not every, we post literally every day. He's posted a reel every day for over a year. And so like, I'm like, if one tanks, who cares? It doesn't matter. I feel like people put so much pressure on themselves to like perform well every single time too. And it's like, just post what you enjoy. Or yeah, like, true. If you're trying to help somebody, like post what's going to help them, serve them.
What was the point where you felt like you were starting to move into the coaching space or going away from the content creator space? Cause I feel like we would always, at least when we first started, you were like one of the people, we were like, okay, we want to aspire to be like as big as Danny and do this and look where she's going, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll slowly started posting more and more coaching. We're like, is she starting to stop? What's going on? I feel like.
You know what? It was pretty much after the course came out. I felt it right then and there. So you guys were some of my first students, and there was a good group too. And I just seeing all of you move up to where you are now, like not
everyone's
just with your
done
growth,
really
but
awesome.
Yeah,
like everyone who started,
it's been amazing to see. Like I looking back, I'm just like, holy shit. Like, even some of the opportunities these people have is crazy. I would have never even dreamed that, you know, I don't know, XYZ tourism board would send you a place or something. It's been a wild thing to watch from my perspective. But that's really when I felt it. When I just started seeing people get their little aha moments, I started realizing that I had more of a knack for it. And honestly, I was already so tired of doing the travel stuff on my own. I did a ton of hiking. Yeah, I did the van life stuff and it was all fun. I'm extremely grateful for it, but it started to get to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, to go on another mountain, to do another hike, to take a photo, like, I think I'm gonna have to chop my legs off. I don't wanna go as an excuse to just like keep me down here. I just don't want to go up there. And I started kind of picking up my camera less and less, but then I would want to like maybe do a live or do a one-on-one call with a student. I started just being more drawn to those types of things.
You enjoyed it more. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a passion. I still have my own hobbies and things that I like doing, but it was just kind of like, wow, I think I'm pretty halfway decent at this. So I'm
good at it and you kind of
like keep going. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's fine too. Because one of the biggest pullbacks that I felt, I already kind of like alluded to this, but it almost just felt like, oh, because I have a content creator background, I should just stay in that space. Like, mm-hmm. I should have some sort of hobby that I'm monetizing. Like, ooh, maybe I should continue with creative portraits, or maybe I just turn this into like a, I don't know, a fitness page or a lifestyle page or something. Like, it kind of just felt like I was giving up on something that I had started originally. But I think that just goes into kind of accepting when you change, and if something's just not serving you anymore, it's not. And there's literally nothing that you could do to force yourself back into that box, especially if you start getting more connected to this other thing that you're doing. For so sure. Yeah, that's how that transition was. And I still think I'm in the midst of it. Like, I'm figuring it out all the time, kind of what works for me, what doesn't. I noticed the way that I like go about content creating is so different, or even like some of the blogs that I write now, they're much more focused on social media stuff. I still have all my travel stuff out there, but yeah, just like I'm still navigating it. We'll figure it out as we go.
I feel like that's so good to have those, because a lot of people that we've talked to are like, oh, I'm starting to get burnt out from this. Oh, I'm starting to get burnt out from this. And I feel like you can stay in the space, but there's so many areas to pivot into. Like, we started off super hardcore backpacking and road trips. And then we like extremely pivoted into, okay, we're still going to go hiking and road tripping, but we're just going to do it internationally. And now we just had our first person was like, wow, you guys have really moved into like the luxury travel space. We got a comment about that the other day. And I was like, I feel like that's not. And then while we
was offended by that.
And then we were taking a reel the other day and G was like, wow, I understand why they say that we moved into the luxury.
I get it. But I mean, cause we've started doing a little more like cool accommodations and like hotels, just cause like that's naturally like we're trying to grow our YouTube channel next.
Yeah,
and our blog.
So
like
that's
where we're pivoting. So I was like, okay, well, what is working for us on Instagram is great, but like if we want to work on our YouTube too, we're going to want to like have different categories, because we have our YouTube performs a little bit different than our Instagram, and we have totally different audiences on there, which is interesting. But yeah, so we've kind of branched out quite a bit.
And I think that just finding other hobbies within the area is so healthy. Like, you found your content creator coach style of like, oh, this is really fun. And then slowly, before we never used drones, and slowly like, we'll buy a drone. And now we're like, oh, let's start doing FPV drones. And let's do like, it's like a completely different style. Like, before we were heavily focused on photos. Like, that was all we cared about. When we went up to an area, we were like, we have to get the best possible photo here. Now there's so many different avenues and so many different other fun things that we can do up there. And then the podcast was like another fun thing we started. I feel like as long as you can find other avenues that continue to inspire you or continue
that you don't monetize,
you have fun with, then I feel like you can, it helps a lot with the burnout. Cause I feel like G, especially in December, was struggling a lot.
We took a month off.
We took with the burnout. She was like, we need to stop traveling for a month. Let's just enjoy the holidays and stay home. I struggled with it because I can just go.
He's a fidget man sitting at home. But yeah, it was very nice to like take a month off of travel and just like be with friends and like hang out. And by the end, I was like, okay, I'm like ready to go out again. So we just did Finland last week, or we just got back 2 days ago. So, and then we're off to more travel in the next 2 weeks. But it was good. It was good. Anyways, I know like for him, it's the drone pilot stuff. I'm moving into like blogging again because we finally got our website redone and it was so exciting. But your blog is like the most aesthetically pleasing, informative, well-written blog I've ever seen. So I'm curious, like how long did it take you to I kind of remember when you were rebranding your website, and I mean, that must've been a couple of years now, but like, what was the rebranding process like, and how did you build up your blog on the side? Did you like already kind of have it when you were doing your OG like outdoor stuff, or did you just fully pivot when you moved into coaching into your blog and like your products and more passive income style stuff?
Okay, so this is an interesting topic. One of the things that I regret doing this. So if you're somebody who is a content creator, aspiring, whatever, listening, hear me out. Okay. When I was in the camper van, I went so hard on doing everything, and I dragged poor Scott into me too. It was like, we're doing pictures, we're doing videos, we're doing some YouTube videos on the van. What else? Oh, and then I did the blog too. That was the one that I'm missing. Which
and
is what
you
we're
had
talking
a podcast
about now.
At some point. You've done everything.
Oh my God. It's just like at some point, pick a damn lane and stick to it and wait to go other places, because it is just such a shitty experience to be like half-assing stuff and it's like too much to handle. Just pick a lane. Just pick a damn lane. So looking back, I would have definitely just stuck to the social media stuff and waited to do like, okay, everything else, because it was just way too much. So with that being said, while I was doing the blogs, I was cranking them out like every week, but they were not good. These were like 300 word little posts with some keywords stuffed everywhere, images all like plastered, loading slow, whatever. So finally, when I had some downtime, this was probably, I think I had my old blog when the course came out, and I want to say I started the blog rebranding process. Was that 2021?
I think so.
I just like had this really disastrous logo I was not into at the time, and like these weird neon colors, it was just not me at all. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna hire somebody to like find me fonts, colors, logo, all that stuff, and then I want them to also do a website for me. So I do want to say that was in March of 2021. I finally was going out to find the person, found the person, and it took us, I counted, 7 months to finish that website and get it all done. And it was kind of like, I wrote all the copy for it. I wanted the pages to be nice and organized and everything like that. And me and my assistant, we're going to do the blog transfers, because I'm not even going to get into what the hell that took. That was a whole other ball game.
I was like, our blog transfer for our new website, we've only had like 10 posts or something. So it was super easy, and they were not optimized. They're like worst. We're in that process right now, reoptimizing and actually looking at SEMrush instead of, you know, just guessing what's going to go well on there. But
well, I had 70 posts that were horribly optimized that I had to transfer over one by one, because it's kind of like, what people don't know about blogs is you basically pay for all these apps and a lot of them don't work together. So the new platform that I was using didn't work with my old one. So it was kind of like, I couldn't just copy and paste a blog over. I had to like literally rewrite it because there was a bunch of code attached to it. Like, I said, a mess. We're not going to get into this. Okay. So anyways, yeah, it took like 7 months to do that. And I still have a ton of blog posts in my drafts, but I just kind of started going through them one by one, optimizing them. And then as I was doing that, I was like, oh, I want to open up a shop. I had already had like some presets on there and everything else. But I don't know. I just think one day I woke up and I went ham and I was like, I have all these templates and I'm going to sell them. And I just started making them. And that's been actually primarily what a lot of what I do now has been kind of revolving around, is just figuring out the product stuff, because it's so different from doing the everything with the blog or anything with like a brand deal. There's just like, you have to obviously make sales pages. You have funnels for people to go through. Freebies, like order bumps and all this other
stuff. The whole marketing plan.
Yeah, exactly. So it takes a pretty long time to do all of those things. But yeah, it was like 7 months to do the whole rebrand process, and all the blogs still aren't done. Bucket List Brie, I did coaching with her and she taught me a lot about proper blogging.
I'm in her course too. That's who I'm doing it through. Little plug if you guys need a blog coach.
Yeah, seriously. She helped a ton. And I remember I had a call with her and she was going through one of my blogs and
she roasted me so hard.
Yeah, I got it too. And like, I don't know. She just gave me like this face. She's like, yeah, this blog needs work. And I was like, thanks, Brie. Okay.
She's so nice about it.
Yeah, I know, but I could see the tinge of disgust on her from what she had just read of mine. It was like 7,000 words. I don't know why I decided to make a blog post that long.
Oh my
don't
God.
Ask. Okay. This was like, I don't know what the heck I was on, whatever. Anyways, bless her soul. Yeah. Right. So much coffee and Red Bull, but anyways, so that blog process is still going, but if you want to do a whole rebranding, I don't expect it to take like a couple of months. It would take a pretty long time to get it right. Right. You have to make sure, like, obviously your designer is doing your mobile site too, which a lot of people don't end up doing until like the 11th
the
hour.
Responsive design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a lot to do that stuff. And it's something I'm glad I didn't do on my own. That's for sure.
I was going to say, are you happy like doing outsourcing now? I feel like that was it took us the longest time to be like, okay, we're finally going to release our baby into the wild. And now we have an assistant, we have our web designer who we like outsource web designing stuff to. And then we have a girl who helps me with the blogs
and two video editors.
And now two remote video editors. We finally, like, as of like the last 3 months, like we finally were like, okay, we need to outsource to grow everything. But I know that's like a big pain point for a lot of people, is especially if you're doing it solo. I mean, thank God I have Steven, because I don't think we would have grown as fast as we did without us being partners. But yeah.
I mean, it's so nice, right? You guys already feel this, but I understand it's not accessible to a lot of people because it is expensive. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of feel like in the creator space, just pick a lane and stick to it and stop trying to be, I don't know, wear so many hats and be like the jack of all trades with going on every single platform and doing everything, because you're just not going to do it well. And it's going to take you a lot longer to grow all those things than it would if you were just like, I'm going to be an Instagrammer, and you just like went full on with it. So
that's so true though. I mean, you only have so much time in a day. Yeah. And like we started doing everything, and then we picked like, okay, what are the ones that we're good at that are easiest to grow? And that just happened to be Instagram and TikTok. I mean, when we were still posting YouTube and blogs at the time, and then we just
and like, then we took 9 months off.
Yeah, we took 9 months off YouTube and the blog.
And then we doubled the Instagram and TikTok. That was like our goal. Yeah. And then this year we're like, okay, those are just kind of running themselves. Now we'll pivot and just go into the longer form evergreen content.
How am I going to ask this question? Do you guys feel like you've gotten more comfortable with realizing that things take time now?
Yes.
I don't like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We always want things to happen all at once, but you guys, I mean, you just said it, you had to pick your battles and then come back to those other platforms later. And it's like, it's really, really hard when you are watching other people grow so quickly, you feel like you need to be doing that. And then again, you try to like rush, do everything, and it just doesn't work out. So how have you guys kind of like just been okay with, okay, maybe we'll table this for later and come back to it?
I think watching our old YouTube videos. I
think it's really healthy, especially when you're in the beginning. Like when you're first starting, you don't like, we had no intentions of really making money. We were just like, oh, this is fun. But when we hit 10,000 followers, we were like, we've made it. We don't need to do anything else. We hit five digits. What? And then I feel like after that, once we started, making some money. I don't think we even said it to each other, but we both were like, okay, Instagram is where we're making both our incomes. Like,
so we should have focus so much on that.
Income yeah. coming from that. And then once we started getting those bigger deals, like our first 30 grand deal was for Instagram. So I think that if we had a, let's say a 30 grand deal for a blog or the same type of thing for YouTube, I think that would have changed our direction a lot. And we would have put more time into the thing that was giving us the most money. But I would say like almost 50%, if not more, of the money came from just Instagram, and the other 50% was from TikTok. So both those platforms were so monetizable and they had so much money that brands are just throwing at, where for us, the time to
YouTube
receiving the income came down to, I was spending 20 to 40 hours on each YouTube video, depending, like our Iceland YouTube video is 45 minutes. Now in the long run, 2 years later,
it's generated a
ton of money. So the time invested in that was worth it. But compared to spending 3 or 4 hours between creating the content, editing it, getting it approved and posting it, and then making $10,000 off of one post, it's like at a certain point you'd look at how much time in the beginning. But now that, like I said, that we do have those other, they're like a well-oiled machine. I feel like that's why we're pivoting to the other ones, to try and get those more evergreen. All the people that we've had on the podcast that have like said, okay, I'm really making a lot of money from this, this is the best type of passive income, and it's all been blog and YouTube. Those are like the two things
every person
loves to do, that is really seeing a long-term effect. Where I feel like Instagram and TikTok, now that we look at it, it's kind of a rat race. Everyone can grow. You, one person can hit 300,000 in a month if they do it right, and then some people take a lot longer to get there. Whereas on YouTube, I feel like much more difficult. Now with shorts there,
it might be a little
people
faster,
are hitting it much, much quicker, but I feel like it's a completely different game on YouTube and
blogging. And that's why like we each are tackling it separately too. So like I do all the SEO for YouTube, but Steven does all video editing, and that's like his baby. And then the blog is my baby. So we kind of like split it up entirely. So that way it's just like each of us are focusing and honing in on one thing. And then he has his remote editors that are helping him crank out content. And then I have my other writer who help us crank out content. So yeah, the goal is to get the blog monetized this year.
Yeah.
And then try and scale the YouTube.
I just feel like once you have enough income coming in and then you look at it, you're like, okay, now I could pivot and focus on the other platforms. But until then, you're just trying to hit that point where you're like, okay, I need to make ends meet at a certain point.
And not reach burnout at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, you guys also just said it too, even though there's two of you doing two separate things, it's kind of like you're each picking your lane and you're going with it. And
yeah.
I feel like if it was just one person and they were dividing their time between two platforms, they wouldn't really be getting anywhere for in sure. the amount of time that you guys are able to. So even though it sucks to kind of like put things off to the side, wait, and you're like, okay, maybe I'm not going to focus on my YouTube anymore right now. It just has to happen sometimes, especially if it's just taking you way too long to do videos or they're not serving you at all, like income wise. So you just got to kind of like pick your battles. Yeah. It's a lot though.
Would you say that most of your income now, I mean, I feel like a lot of it in the beginning was more like sponsored stuff, but now that you're moving it into the coaching space, would you say like most of it's from like your course and your products or like affiliates, or like what streams of income are currently like your top?
Currently, I cut out everything except for the coaching stuff. So okay. I decided to pick my lane, and it's like digital products, one-on-one coaching and course. And those okay. are the ones that I'm focusing on right now. Yeah. So no brand deals. I'd like to get my blog monetized this year. That's just been something that I kind of been on and off about for a long time, because it does take so long. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to table this now. But that one's pretty close. I'd like to go ahead and get some ads on that. And then there's still affiliate links coming in, but I wouldn't really say that they're like, ooh, making me so much. I'm going to go buy my yeah. G-Wagon soon. Like, that's not really it, but it's just kind of like, it's there, it's running. And at least for me, what's really helpful is to still have that travel content available, because it's kind of like, okay, hey, I'm a travel influencer. Look at all the stuff that I post. Ooh, wow, how did she do this? And then they funnel into yeah. like how I thinking about this journey and doing all the coaching stuff, but it's not necessarily like a focus for me to keep posting more travel stuff. We'll see. We'll see how that changes over time. But yeah, those are my income streams now.
That's so interesting. We just had Michelle on, who's also done your course, Wandering Queen. And she was saying how like affiliates are like huge for her. And I was like,
I don't know. 350,000 off of sales on affiliates. I was like, oh my Lord.
That's insane. That's like, all right, I'm going to go study up on affiliate marketing. But
her blog is also ridiculous.
Yeah. And Breeze too. Everyone. And that's, I feel like I have so many inspirations now for blog, which is interesting because I feel, and we talked about this on a few other episodes too, of like who's inspiring us currently. And I feel like all of the inspirations I currently have are coming from blogging rather than Instagram or TikTok or some things like that. Same thing with YouTube. I love watching certain YouTubers and stuff more. I feel like I get more out of watching or reading longer form content now than just like scrolling mindlessly. I feel like when I'm scrolling on Instagram now, it's like, okay, Steven, I found an audio. Here's another audio. And like, it's very hard for me to be like, oh wow, like breathtaking content. And that actually, that's why we went to Finland, because we were scrolling. I was scrolling one day last week in December, like right after Christmas. And I got this crazy like video reel of the Northern Lights over these crazy glass igloos in Finland. And I was like, Steven, let's go to Finland. And then I booked it right after. It was the most spontaneous thing I've ever done. I was like, we need to do this. We're talking about Norway, whatever. I was like, Finland. And then I've missed that kind of inspiration on the platform because I don't get it very often. So I was like super stoked when I saw that. I was like, now I want to go there. Like I'm actually inspired. And it was from a hotel, like a hotel posted that.
So I feel like in the beginning, you and Kelsey and like Ryan and all of you guys inspired G and I so much. Is there anyone now that you still look up to or that's like continuing to inspire you?
You know, I feel like a bitch for saying this, but no,
Choco inspires her.
Actually, that's a good point. I'm more inspired, I think, by people who I see just enjoying themselves. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to live my whole life behind a screen. I don't know, like, I guess I'm not saying that being a content creator is bad. I'm just saying it goes back to like that continuously like chasing something. And that's what I was doing before. I was always chasing the next destination. I was always chasing like, ooh, what photo can I go next? Ooh, like what photos is that person posting? I want to do that. Ooh, I need a reel like this. And I just feel like that's just not the way that I want to live. And there's definitely a balance of it. But for me, it was so time consuming and just so unserving in my life. And the more time I spend with like Scott, just doing things like yesterday, after I did some coaching stuff for Shits and Giggles, we went to a coffee shop and we got to walk around. We went and like got food. I told you guys before we hopped on this call, it's snowing outside. I want to play with my dog in the snow. Like I aspire to do those things because those are core memories for me that I'm not getting when I'm just consistently on my phone and making my job my literal life. I'm not saying don't have goals, don't work hard, and don't do this, but if you're just always like comparing and doing that, my biggest fear is I'm gonna wake up one day and be crinkly and old and look like a raisin and just be like, wow, how did I get here? I was just looking at X, Y, and Z's mountain photo the other day. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to do that. So I would say like personally, I guess like I don't really, there's nobody content wise that's really inspiring me because I'm just kind of like doing my job and making sure I'm putting out my voice out there. But in my personal life, I have some friends who are just like taking up, I don't know, snowboarding or something, or it's like, oh, they're it's not even necessarily settling down, buying a house or doing that, but they're just like living their life and minding their P's and Q's and doing things and like hanging out and having fun. I'm like, yeah, that stuff is really cool. And a lot of times we get so caught up thinking that what we see on our phones is, ooh, that's what I should be doing, but you don't realize like what the heck is right in front of you. Like, why do you work to make a bunch of money? Probably so you have more availability to do the things that you want to do. So you should be enjoying your life. You should just be spending time with your dog, spending time with more family, taking breaks as you need them, taking trips just for fun and not just for photos all the time. And that's like what I get inspired by. I'm like, how can I literally work my ass off, make the income that I want to make, and feel fulfilled from my job? And then when that's said and done, I can just enjoy my own life because I felt like I served my purpose for the day. So that's like what I'm aiming to do more of, because I just used to be that person that you would catch me up from like the break of dawn to like just 24/7 on my computer working. I've missed so many, I don't know, like I missed a lot of weddings, for example. I've missed a lot of like birthdays and holidays and other things like that, just because I was like, I just need to work. But I don't know, if you're never gonna stop, what are you gonna have to enjoy in life? Yeah, what's the point? And I just want to like seriously cushion that so much and say that I'm not saying don't enjoy work, don't work hard, don't do the things that you have to do, but I just think at a point there needs to be like some sort of timeout where you're doing other things maybe, and you're like enjoying the people around you.
Mic drop. So that was well said.
That was like, yeah, I don't know, maybe that sounded like a bunch of mindset guru self-help bullshit or whatever.
The next Tony Robbins, Danny.
Danny Robbins coming to a live show near you in 2023. Yeah. But that's just how I feel. And that's like what I get inspired by people doing their own thing.
That's definitely something we've come a lot more to terms with this year. Cause like I don't think we've traveled as much as we did last year, like in any instance of our lives, or like even compared to work. Like, I don't think we worked harder than we did last year. And like our income episode that we did, like it definitely showed that we worked really hard and it like monetarily, but by the end, it's like, you're so exhausted. And like December, taking that month off was so nice because like we actually could spend time with our families and with Karen and yeah, like actually be here for the holidays and like take a step back to enjoy. And Steve and I find ourselves asking each other all the time, like, what's the point of working so hard if you're not going to enjoy it and you're not going to like be able to reap the rewards from all of your hard work? So I think what you said is totally true and definitely can be a point of conversation for a lot of creators that are like killing themselves to grow their platforms. Like, okay, let's take a step back and realize what you're doing it all for in the first place.
You know what too, like, and I have a friend, Spencer. He lives up in Washington and he works his ass off. He used to work for Tesla. Now he works for Zillow, I believe, doing project management. And yeah, he's a pretty smart dude. He like puts in, you know, the multi-hour days going at home and stuff. But I think that guy has snowboarded probably every single day since the season started. And he's just like, to me, a really good example of somebody who like, they're doing really well. They're working very, very hard, but they know when to go ahead and shut that off, because mm-hmm. what's the reason they're doing that? Because they want to have the hobbies and do the things. And so it's kind of like looking back on a lot of the trips that I took and a lot of the opportunities I've had as a creator, I definitely have like a tinge of like a smidgen of regret when I think back on some of those, because I wish maybe I would have taken a second to organize my schedule a little bit differently so that I could have like one day where I could just have free time and explore the place and enjoy it and not feel compelled to capture all these photos or something. So like now when I talk to a lot of content creators who like want to get started, one of the first things I tell them is you really need to organize your work week, and you need to be a lot better about scheduling time for things, because especially if you're working a 9-to-5 or you're a student or whatever, if you're just like working and then you like bleed into going into your content creator job and you're never like doing your own hobbies, taking care of yourself or doing something else, what do you think is going to happen when you start to grow? You're just going to replace all the time that you were spending with your 9-to-5 with more of your work stuff. And you're just not going to be doing shit that's fulfilling you anymore. And you're just going to kind of feel like an empty soul of a human, because all you do is work all the time. And if you enjoy that, that's totally fine. It's just my personality where I just want to be doing some other things sometimes. So different
hobbies
people
are healthy. Hobbies are healthy.
What are some of your guys' hobbies?
Karen. Feel like
I love just like, I don't know, taking her out, walking the dogs, like taking her to the beach. She's just I love dogs. That's all I'm saying. It used to be a lot of like, we used to do a lot of like climbing and like other outdoorsy things as our hobbies that were like separate, but I feel like I've definitely strayed away from that. I like doing yoga. That's another thing. I'm actually a yoga certified teacher, but yeah, I've only taught one class because it's right before COVID, but I do enjoy that. I've started working out more again. Like,
I feel like outsourcing. Yeah, I feel like outsourcing's been our big thing, because for a long time it was just, okay, as soon as you finish this, on to the next task, then on to the next task.
Yeah, we didn't have time for those hobbies.
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like since we've started outsourcing, it's just opened up a lot of things, especially in the past few months.
So yeah, like yoga and working out for me, like that's a big thing, because I can do it while I'm home and it doesn't take too much time, things like that. But and Karen, I just feel bad when we're traveling and we leave her at home. I'm just like, ugh, my heart breaks, even though I know she's totally fine and doesn't miss me.
It's so true.
What about you?
I feel like all mine are working out.
Yeah, we're trying to start active
or FPV. But... I'm trying to get into that space and it is so freaking hard.
Wait, FPV?
You know, like the FPV drones where you put on the goggles and you fly. You mentioned that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so, I don't know if you've ever tried it, but it is so freaking difficult. Like the trying to get into it is like a whole new level. And the certifications you have to get with like your part 107 and the tests that you have to go through, like they've made it a lot harder than it used to be, I think 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, you know what else? Oh, we're getting scuba certified. That's like our next hobby we're working on. We're going to Australia and New Zealand tomorrow. So we're getting scuba certified at the Great Barrier Reef. That's going to be our next like thing. So I'm pretty stoked on that. That's like both for fun and for content. But Mark is like, I think it'd be really dope to be able to like say, yeah, I got scuba certified in the Great Barrier Reef. Like that.
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty hard flex. I'm not going to lie.
Like, like I hate it when people are like, what's a fun fact about you? I'm like, I don't know. Like that, there's my fun fact, you know?
Boom, done.
Yeah.
All right, Danny, we got one last question for you. This is actually the first question I ever asked Giselle when I met her. So what is the most exciting thing that you've ever done? It could literally be anything. It could be food related, eating a scorpion or something crazy. It can be skydiving. It can be a crazy party. It can be a volcano. It can be a beautiful sunrise that you just had an emotional moment experiencing the vortexes in Sedona. I don't know. What do you think the most exciting thing you've ever done is?
Oh my gosh, you're like really making me tap into my memory now. I feel like I'm like one of those, you know, like those scenes where someone's having like a vision or something and they're just like, yeah, going through. I'm like filtering. The most exciting thing I've ever done.
I love this question because everyone has so many different experiences. So something that I think is exciting is completely different than what Giselle thinks is exciting.
Okay, you know what? The most exciting thing I have ever done was the Disney College program. That was like one of the first things I thought of when you asked me that. It's because it was something I had wanted to do for so long. Like before I had even gotten to school, I interviewed maybe like 4 or 5 times, did not get in. I tried so hard. I didn't have like any job experience or anything. So the final time that actually got me in, I felt ready. It all felt right. And when I got that acceptance email, it was like, holy shit, my life is made. And going out there, I mean, yeah, it was amazing because they take you through like the underground tunnels and like I have all these different experiences of working on Christmas Day with a bunch of my friends, and we did like the parade audience control shifts, and I was literally so close to Cinderella's castle. That's the one at Disney World, right? Yeah, Cinderella's castle, that the fireworks from the Christmas show, the debris was falling on my face. God. Like that's literally, but my eyes were like glowing. Yeah, seriously. And I still actually, it's like right here because I'm kind of on my desk, but so for the parade audience control, they make everybody wear like these navy blue kind of like dress suits. And basically the costume is you're the only person in the park allowed to walk in between worlds. So like you'll never see somebody in Adventureland able to go to Fairy Tale Land because they're wearing different costumes and they're not able to cross over. But you wearing the navy blue suit, you can go wherever you want. It's like the ticket. You could go through all the back doors and everything. Yeah, right. So this was so exciting for me. And this jacket had these buttons of the castle on them. And I love the buttons so much. And that was such an exciting day, the Christmas parade and everything, that I literally stole a button.
Oh my gosh.
I made it into a necklace. So I literally have this. Yeah. And like literally this thing means so much to me. You have no idea. It just brings back so many good memories of being out there and having that whole experience. So that's probably the most exciting thing I've ever done. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. My brother got accepted into the Disney College program. That's like originally what he was going to do. And then COVID.
Oh no.
Yeah. And that's pivoted into getting his pilot's license, and he's got his boater's license. So full 360. But that's awesome. I've heard some really fun things about that. So,
and where can everyone find all your stuff, Danny? Where do you want them to go?
Oh my gosh. Where can't you go? I'm Danny the Explorer everywhere. And then my social media specific stuff is Danny the Coach. But yeah, you can find me at Danny the Explorer on all the things, including www.danny-the-explorer.com and anywhere else. All the dashes. There's a Danny and there's a dash. That's where I am. So yep, that's me.
And we'll put your course link in our description if anyone else wants to check it out. She taught us so much. If you guys are first starting out and want to monetize your account, or if you know you've been around for a while and you're not making the money that you think you want to make, go check her out. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I feel like you're low-key a legend in our book.
Not even
I'm
low-key.
A legend. I love it.
Anyway, thank you.
Waiting for you guys to get me tattooed on your arm. So that's what's
Danny with like a heart going through it, you know, like the mom tattoos, but it says Danny.
I'll exactly. get Danny and I'll get the Explorer on mine.
There you go.
I love it.
Anyway, thank you so much for being on Unfiltered Adventures. And don't forget, guys, if there's one thing that you can do to help support this podcast, is to leave us a 5-star review and share it with one other person. Maybe even go shoot Dani a DM and tell her something you learned about her or content creation from the podcast. And we will see you guys next week, next Friday, actually, with another episode of Unfiltered Adventures.